This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Do you feel like the fan base around here giving up on the Orioles? Or ready to give up on them? I don't think they have yet. You think they're ready to?
I think that they're on their way there. I think it's happening. You watch, you know, Twitter or any social media during an Orioles game. Not going to be a lot of positivity these days. And look, that's because there's nothing positive to talk about. They're only reacting to what they're seeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it is getting to that point to where patience is running thin. And I don't think it's just a this year thing. I really don't. I think it's people have, you know, taking the last 2 years where they've gone and gotten swept in the postseason, and people have kind of taken that on the chin. I think obviously last year was extremely disappointing because it came off the year prior where it was the same result. And I thought they had a better team last year than they had the year before. But now it's like when you see them get off to the start that they're on now, and I get it, the injuries have been bad and they've had some bad luck. It just feels like a snowball effect. And right now, I think for a lot of fans, it's just not a lot of positive to lean on. Like, it's one thing if they're losing, but right. It's like, you know, it's cool because, you know, I see this and this and this, and I feel like over time, these things will add up to success coming in the future. Right now, it's tough to really lean on a lot of foundational things with the Orioles to make you feel like this slow start is just a blip.
410-583-1057, that's the number. I think what you say is accurate in this. I think the fans were already tired from last year. I think they were already frustrated from last year. Not just the postseason, but how the team finished down the stretch.
Yeah.
I think they went into it with a lot of positive vibes in the 2024 season. And they got off to a great start. And they came to a screeching halt towards the end of the season. There were some injuries. But Santander wasn't hitting well. Adley Rutschman wasn't hitting well. Some of the guys that played every day were not producing. And I think this year, I agree with you. What we're having this year from some of the fans is not just because of what's happening this year. It's a hangover from last year as well.
And I also think the lackluster off seasons play a huge part because that was one of the big things that Oriole fans were looking forward to, you know, going all the way back to this liftoff from here. And whether it was misinterpreted or not, that's just what the overall expectation was from that quote, was that they were going to go out and start spending some money. They were going to go out and start bringing in some big names. And that didn't happen. And this offseason, you get the new, you know, you're coming off the new ownership and everything is, oh, you know, this front office has all the leeway to do what they want. We're backing them monetarily, all this and that. So everybody's like, all right, what are the Orioles going to do this offseason? And it just felt a little underwhelming when you lose key pieces like Corbin Burns, you lose Anthony Santander.
See, I think the Corbin Burns thing is unfair because Corbin Burns even admitted or offered to pay him.
Well, I don't think it was the fact that people were upset that it's just the fact of losing him.
Yeah.
Like, and it's like, and okay, naturally it's like, what are we replacing that with?
And I think, and I wish Michael Elias would have never used the phrase lift off, because I came in here after that and said to people who listen to the show, lift off doesn't mean they're going out and getting free agents. That's not what lift off means. No one believed me. I said, that's not what liftoff means. Mm-hmm. He means liftoff as you've been asking to see these guys. Right after liftoff, you saw Colton Cowser. You saw Jordan Westbrook. You saw all the guys that they told you about. That's liftoff. And I mean, liftoff means you're launching them.
Right.
That's what liftoff. You're launching your guys. No one wanted to hear that, because it is typical of people. You can tell them facts, but if that's not how they interpret it,
people,
they're not going to believe you.
People hear what they want to hear.
And I said it over and over. I said, that's not what he meant by that. He never meant that. You keep in mind, who was the owner when he said liftoff?
It was
Peter Angelos.
Yeah.
What makes you think they were going out and spending? Now, to be honest with you, if he said that this year, I would have asked him, well, you got to define that, because mm-hmm. you got new ownership now. Does that mean you're going? But with the old ownership, how do you think all of a sudden, with all of these cats in the minors, that they were just going to go out and spend? I mean, they brought up all the prospects that they and if you recall, Cordell, during that time, there was frustration in the fan base of all the talk to the prospects, and we didn't see them.
Right.
So he was responding to your frustration at the time. Where's Jackson Holiday? Where's Jordan Westbrook? Where's all these people we hear about? And then they slowly brought these people up right after that. I think Jackson Holiday is starting to get it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's starting to get it, man. He's starting to find himself.
No, he's a stud.
Yeah.
I'm glad he was one of the guys that Michael Elias was stingy with. But I think even that, the handling of the prospects is a part of the frustration with the fan base. When you get upset, you know, like you get into it with the other half, and then all of a sudden it just feels like all of a sudden things that you're not even mad about in the moment, but stuff that you was pissed off about weeks ago.
And another thing.
Right. You know, it's just something I've been holding in. Now I'm going to let it go. And I think that's a little bit of the Orioles, because especially when you look around the league and you see guys like Kyle Stowers getting off to a great start. Yeah. Now people are upset that, you know, that the that they didn't maximize the value of the guys that they did get rid of. And it's even guys here now that people feel like maybe they missed their window with maximizing on their value. Guys like Heston Kjerstad right now, Kobe Mayo, like their value is probably free falling these days, right? Or fair or not. It you're not seeing a lot.
I think the only one that matters with is Kobe Mayo, because in my opinion, they never planned to trade Heston Kjerstad, they did Kobe Mayo.
And maybe, and I can understand that. I guess it's just that mixed with also the whole way that we got here, the complete overhaul, rebuild, and just stinking up the joint for a couple of years. And look, it worked. It got them the draft picks that they wanted. They ended up hitting home runs on a lot of those picks, early, mid, whatever. They hit on the draft, and that's usually the hiccup in rebuilds. Right. Most teams don't have the batting average that the Orioles did during the draft years. And then they go and win a division. They have 100 win seasons, and they're making consecutive postseasons. But now it just starts to feel like they're moonwalking a little bit, even going back to last year. So I think that's the frustration with the fans, is that it's starting. And look, this may be very doom and gloom, and it's still just the early part of May, but it does feel like they're moonwalking a little bit. Just going back to last year, you could go back to like June of last year. It feels like they've been backpedaling, where for about a year and a half, they were on they were in the fast lane, speeding through traffic.
Steve Molesky joins us at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we want to hear from you. Are you getting the feeling the fan base is ready to give up on the Baltimore Orioles? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment.
all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
7:46 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Are you starting to get the feeling that the fan base is getting ready to give up on the Orioles?
I can't get over the rejoin. It makes me feel like I'm about to watch a Bill Cosby, Sidney Poitier movie or something. You know, let's do it again or something like that.
Up till Saturday night.
Yeah.
Which one did I like better? I think you're right. I think
Let's do it again is my movie right there.
Was that the one where they had Lil Seymour? Big Percy and Lil Seymour.
Yeah. Well, is that the one where they were the motive? They work with the kids or something like that. Maybe that's not Let's Do It Again.
No. You're thinking about another movie.
Is the Let's Do It Again the boxing one where they fixed the boxing match?
No.
Dang. So which one?
Let's Do It Again, I believe, is I get them confused. When they were robbed and at a casino, and they made everybody take the clothes off. And
now, Let's Do It Again is the one with JJ from Good Times, where they fixed the boxing match and stuff.
I'm getting Uptown Saturday right.
There's also A Piece of the Action.
A Piece of the Action, yes. It's like a three-part. It's like three of them, yeah.
James Earl Jones, Sidney Poitier, and Bill Cosby.
Yeah, A Piece of the Action is the one I'm forgetting.
That is a hell of a lineup.
And those movies were great.
I watched all of those movies when I was a kid, with my mom.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got put. We're talking about the 70s. Yeah,
you had to watch them. 410-583-1057, that's the number. Are you starting to get the feeling that the fans are giving up on the Orioles? Kevin in Ellicott City. What's up, Kevin?
Good morning. What's good, Rob and Cordell? How y'all doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing good, sir. Thank you. Great question, man. Great segment. From my humble opinion, as a guy from Baltimore, I never gave up on the O's when they were bad. As far as the Orioles themselves, the team name, who they are, I just think it's easier to give up on the people involved. You guys kind of talk about that a lot on your show. It's when you hear folks call in and say fire Hyder and so on. It's right. Like, I'm just kind of giving up on the mindset because it just didn't seem like it's evolved from what Mike Elias created, Rob. And that's just my opinion, but okay. I'm kind of giving up on that particular direction a little bit.
So you think it's like they're just spinning tires right now?
Yes, sir, 100%, because it doesn't feel like they took that next strong step forward off of what they were saying and kind of showing that we were building, right? I mean, we built a winning team.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call. That's a good perspective. Mm-hmm. I mean, once we got to that point, okay, what's next now? What do we do now?
I think they're so process driven and plan driven, Mike Elias and those guys, because that was a lot of what they talked about when they first got here, talked about their plan and everything that they had laid out. And maybe it was 2 years ago or something like that, but everybody kept saying, which I hate the phrase of ahead of schedule, right? And the Orioles had won the division right that year. And people were like, they're a year or two ahead of where we thought they'd be.
Right.
And a part of me does wonder, if them getting to that point quicker than they thought that they would, mess them up a little bit on their route. Because it seems like a lot of the moves that they make are moves that they were making when the team was trying to get out of the rut. And that's fine. But like I said on our show last night, I feel like Mike Elias, the gambles that he's taking aren't the right gambles. He's taking gambles on trying to turn water into wine right now, when that was cool.
Someone said to me this, Cordell, that he's too smart for his own good.
Yes.
You agree with that?
I agree. I think just like that. Like, he found the diamonds in the rough, like Felix Batista and those guys, the Rule 5 draft picks. They found these guys. And I think now, that was cool when you were a losing team. But now when you're a proven team, where you're a true contender, those risks need to be different. Those risks need to turn from, you know, going to get a Ramon Laureano, who's great right now for them. He's right. One of the few guys that's hitting, but turning that into a risk like going and trading for Alex Bregman. Like, those are the types of risks that I feel like you should be taking when you're a true contender. And it just seems like the Orioles aren't taking those types
Bregman
of swings.
Well, Bregman was a free agent. They wouldn't have had to trade for him.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Go get him. Let's go get Evan in Florida. What's up, Evan?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Doing well, man. How are you?
Doing good. I know you guys like people to come prepared, so I guess I've got some stats.
Okay.
I'm starting to give up on them because since April 20th, they're 16 for 123 with runners in scoring position, no clutch hitting, and the reinforcements, I just don't think they're coming. Like, I know you guys like to point to injury, but, you know, like I think Cordell alluded to it, they weren't performing since maybe June of last year. Rutschman started to slide. Santander was sliding down the stretch. Mountcastle's been rough. And I just don't know if people like, you know, Westberg and O'Neill, Arias coming back, or Couser is going to turn that kind of a thing around where, you know, the pitching for the last week has looked okay, but the bats just can't do it. They've only scored more than three runs in 50% of their games since late June last year. And I just, you know, it's starting to look like more of a prolonged thing. I just don't know how much longer this current makeup is sustainable.
Thanks a lot, Evan. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Liberty Town and get Bill. What's up, Bill?
Yeah. What's up, man? Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Yeah, I don't think yet that, in all honesty, how you can't think this thing, how you can't be not supportive of the Orioles. I wouldn't care if they had Greg Maddux, Glavin, and Smoltz. Even those guys had run support. These guys can't hit. I mean, I don't know what it is, and it goes back to the All-Star break last year. Mm-hmm. They cannot hit. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. I get the injury thing, but Rushman's not injured. Henderson's not injured. Mountcastle's not injured. Why aren't they hitting? Thank you guys for your time.
Thank you. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Let's go to Dave in Salisbury. What's up, Dave?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call today, Rob.
Good morning.
I just want to talk about it. Now, I haven't totally given up on the Orioles this year because I'm hearing all these MLB experts, particularly before the season started, that said, you know, that the Orioles, you know, were actually going to be, you know, contending for a division title this year. So right now as a fan, yeah, I'm disappointed, but they must see more than I see because right now I'm seeing, you know, some bad, you know, situational hitting with hitters. And I don't see it right now, but these MLB experts are supposed to be pretty knowledgeable, and they said the Orioles finished second place this year and get around 90 wins. So I can't see it, you know, as a, you know, regular fan, but I guess they know a lot more than we know. So, yeah, I guess we got to hold our heads up high, and I guess things will get better eventually.
Thank you. Appreciate the call. What was that? What in the world was that? That may be the most sane call he's ever made. What was that? Can we get that Dave in Salisbury all the time, Joe? What was that?
This dude keeps calling in with different numbers, too. So I don't know it's him.
He's catching you off your A game.
Man. That was succinct and to the point by Dave. That's not normal.
That's not normal at all. That was normal Dave.
I mean, I think coming into the year, yeah, you probably did have some sort of expectations for the Birds. I mean, the injuries kind of started almost right away, but, you know, before they really started to pile up the way that they have now, yeah, I could understand that type of optimism.
Yeah. Let's go to John in Towson. What's up, John?
Hey, good morning, Rob. And I want to run a couple things by real quick.
Okay.
First thing is, there's some bad juju going on with the Orioles.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you why. And you know about this, Rob. You're around them. They let a guy go that had been in that organization for 40 years, the Oriole trainer, the head trainer. And nothing was said about it at all. That's wrong. Why don't you tell us, the fans, what happened with the Oriole trainer, Rob?
Who won't I tell him? What the hell you think I was in that meeting? What are you talking about when I tell him? I wasn't in that meeting. I have no idea what happened with him. What did I tell him? How do I know what John? What do you, what, John? No. John, what do you work? What do you work, John? What do you work? John, what do you work? What do you work?
It's not important.
No. Yes, it is. What do you work, John?
I'm retired.
Okay, retired from where?
That's not important.
It is important. No, John. Why are you protective, John? Why are you protective? Where did you work?
You know exactly what happened.
No, I don't know. I want you to tell me what happens high up where you work. I want you to tell me where you work first, and then tell me the meetings that you were in on the high end when they hired and fired people. Where you work?
40 years.
What do you work, John? Where did you retire from?
Don't duck the question, man.
I'm not ducking no questions. If I knew, I tell you things that I know. Whether you know it or not, I tell you things I know. Nobody. How do I know how they fired a trainer? Are you freaking kidding me? That's the most asinine question I've been asked. Drop, tell us why they really fired him. You sound like an imbecile right now. Seriously. And tell me where you worked. Folks are protective when you ask them, aren't they?
That's not important, Rob.
That's not important.
That's not important.
How do I know why the Orioles fired a trainer?
Because you know everything.
Rob, they got rid of some ushers. They got rid of some ushers last year. Where are they, Rob?
I was rolling with them until he asked me what happened. Lead me what happened. I don't know why he fired a trainer. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. I didn't know that they offered Burns $45 million till he told us.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew.
Where is he, Rob?
That's crazy.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, we got to run a business and we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because I think most of us, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.